If your business is broken now, it'll be broken when you grow. Most owners think that systems means checklists, rosters, opening procedures. And that's actually not what I mean. A real system is the codification of everything that makes your salon yours, not just a salon, your salon. If you still believe that your job is to be the best in the room, to lead by example by being the best stylist or the best therapist or doing the best money, and your business is structured around that belief, then you will become the bottleneck, because the brand is you and the standard is you and the ceiling is you. I want to ask you something. If your business doubled tomorrow, like the revenue, the size of the team, all of the clients, like all of it, would that fix all the problems that you have today, or would it just make them bigger? The thing is that nobody talks about out loud is that if you can't manage team drama when you're at 500K a year, you'll have the same problems when you reach $1 million. And if clients leave every time your stylist or your therapist leaves, that doesn't change your scale. It compounds. And if your business isn't profitable now, it won't become profitable just because your business got bigger and you've got more revenue. It actually just becomes a bigger version of broken. And so this episode is the part most people skip past because it's less exciting than strategy. It's less comfortable than the ambition and drive that we have. And it's about what has to be true before you grow. The systems that have to exist, the model that has to be solid, the identity that has to shift, not just in your head, but in how your business is actually built. So this episode is one of those ones that I wish someone had sat me down with like all those years ago and made me listen to before I tried to scale, although I did go and get a coach, but because I learned this the hard way. The only way I learned it was going through it. And I want something to be different for you. So let's get into this episode. So welcome back to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I am Larissa. I am the founder, and I'm also a 20-year salon owner. And this is part three, I guess, of a bit of a series that I've been doing, and I'm calling it New Level, New Devil. And if you haven't heard part one or part two, like go back to the last two episodes because you can start there. I'm going to leave the link for you in the show notes. But if you're here and you've made the decision to step up, I call it like go CEO pro, like we want to go pro, but we want to be CEO pro, or you're close to making that decision, then this episode really is about what comes next or the continuation of what we need to change. And today we're talking about what needs to be true before growth is worth doing, before it's worth anything. Now, when a great stylist leaves the salon, clients can follow. And I know this because I did it. Oops. When I left my salon to open my own salon, like I took the clients with me. Of course I did. And I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do, but it is the thing that I knew to do because I'd seen other people do it. And I have experienced it from both sides. Like I've been the one that's left, but I've also had people leave and take their clients, and I've watched it happen in my own business. And here's what I learned. The problem isn't the stylist who leaves. Like there is always natural attrition, although we want to minimize that, of course. The problem is that a salon was built around a person instead of a brand. So if a client comes to your salon, let's call her Harper. She comes to your salon because of stylist Harper, and then Harper leaves, you lose the clients. And if the clients then come to Sarah and Sarah leaves, same problem, different name. So the goal isn't to replace Harper with Sarah. And it's definitely not to replace your team with you going back on the floor. Like that's also not the goal. The goal is to make Harper and Sarah irrelevant to whether or not the client comes back. That's actually the goal. And the client returns because how the salon made them feel, the experience, the standards that you hold with the team, the consistency between one visit and the next, like it doesn't matter if she comes to Sarah or to Harper, she has the same experience. Or if she comes to Harper, visit one and visit two, she has the same experience. And, you know, that the things happen the same every single time that they walk through the door, regardless of who's holding the scissors or holding the skin cream. Like, that's how you build a brand. Consistency builds a brand, and brands are built on systems. So most owners, not you, of course, but most owners think that systems means checklists, rosters, opening procedures. And that's actually not what I mean. A real system is the codification of everything that makes your salon yours, not just a salon, your salon, the essence of you, the way that you aspire to have a business run, like the way the client is greeted, the language that your team uses in consultation, the standards of every finished blow dry or how they leave hair after a facial, the way complaints are handled, the way new clients are welcomed back the second time that they visit, the energy in the room on a Saturday morning when it's, you know, going at full tilt, all of it is on brand, on standard, documented, trained, but most importantly, lived. Not a document that's shoved in the drawer somewhere, you know, that your team read on day one and then never think about it again and never hear about it again. And this is not because I'm, you know, suggesting that you become a control freak, but because your brand requires it. Now, what about, let's talk about the system of a brand Apple. Like, Steve Jobs never served in a customer store. Not that I know about anyway, but that's not the point. You walk into any one of those stores around the world. I mean, Steve Jobs is not even here anymore, and it still feels like Apple because the experience is designed, trained, and lived, not delivered by the founder. Disney, like Walt Disney has been gone like 60 years or something, but the magic is still there because he's built it into the infrastructure, not into his presence. And if you think about Ray Kroc, you know, Ray Kroc isn't in the kitchen. He was never in the kitchen and he was never at most locations. And he certainly didn't serve customers. Maybe there was a bit of a, like, you've got to serve so many days. I think leadership had to serve so many days on the front, so many days a year or something to be connected. But it's not the point. Every burger, every fry, every experience at McDonald's, like, it's a systems-led brand. And that's what you need to build if you want to build anything beyond what you can serve on the floor in any 40 hours of any given week yourself. Not a business that runs without you in it. Like, that's not necessarily the goal either. A business that runs as you, even when you're not in the room, because of the essence of you. And so here's the piece that connects it all together. Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though. If you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do, well, don't worry. I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode. I spoke in the last episode, or maybe it was the one before, about like identity and how we have to break our identity to be able to build a business. And a broken identity builds a broken business, actually. So if you still believe that your job is to be the best in the room, to lead by example by being the best stylist or the best therapist or doing the best money, you know, doing the most money, and your business is structured around that belief, then you will become the bottleneck. Because the brand is you and the standard is you and the ceiling is you. And that's why when Sarah and Harper leave, they take the clients because they're not you. You can't outwork a broken identity and you can't scale a broken model. And if the model is built around you, it's broken. And if your business is not profitable when you're at 500K a year, that's about 10K a week, and you don't fix the financial model, then you won't be profitable at the $1 million mark either. And if you can't manage team drama at the 500K mark, and you don't learn how to mentor people, you're going to have the same problems amplified, like doubled, at the $1 million mark. If you're having those problems at 10K a week, you'll have the same problems at 20K a week. They'll just be doubled because everything doubled. And if your top performers keep leaving just when they get profitable and you don't learn how to extend your team over the long haul, how they can grow, over the long haul. That is a good word. Then you're always going to be back into recruiting and you're always going to be back to square one. And if you don't learn how to build clientele for the brand, for the team to serve, not for the individuals, then you're always going to lose clients every time a team member leaves. So if your business is broken now, it'll be broken when you grow. And if I think this is the moment for you to stop and ponder that. So you have to learn to overcome the one thing, but maybe it's two things or three things, but you need to identify, like, what is the thing that's holding you back? What is the thing that you're holding on to? And building a system is what's going to make letting go safe, not because you stop caring or stop looking or stop developing the business, but because you've built your standards into a system so the brand can carry itself. It needs to into the business infrastructure. And a system holds what you can't, because you can't be in two places at once. I learned that when I had my two salons and I was driving backwards and forwards, and then one would ring and say, oh, I need a bottle of 20 vol because we've run out. And I'd be like, oh, well, we've got three bottles here at location two. Oh, let me drive it for you. Because you shouldn't be that person holding it together. That's how we get overwhelmed, we get overburdened, and we get burnt out. So letting go becomes possible when we have a clear system. And it can carry what we can't carry alone. I want to tell you what that actually feels like, because I had four people in my management team. This was in the latter part of my 20-year journey. So in those last 5 years, we had four people in the management team, and we were just tapping on that $2 million mark a year. There was 30 in the team, somewhere between 27 and 30. Like, at that size team, there's always somebody coming and going. And I had strong managers who were genuinely just like so super great at their job. They'd been with me for a while. They'd learned the systems. They'd built the systems with me. We called ourselves the dream team. And at first, I do remember, like, not, it felt weird to not feel needed. I didn't like it. Like, what do you mean you don't need to call? I remember when my phone stopped ringing. And, you know, I'd look at my phone and go, is it broken? I didn't know what to do with myself. I had to reintroduce myself to my children and relearn how to reconnect with them, which was so great. But it took me a minute, you know? And it was the thing that I'd built like my whole identity around, and just busy being busy and being needed and being the one that held it all together. So I was holding together at home and I was holding together at the business. And now it was running without me holding it. And I had to get used to that. And then I learned to love it, and I could be present with my children truly and actually not be half on my phone and have a phone in my hand and a problem in my head, you know. And I actually had space to go and have a facial on a Tuesday, like, what the heck, or go to the gym or eat well, be a good mum. And I had enough freedom to have creative space, like new ideas would form. I could problem solve what was going on in the business. And I could truly be present for the managers so they could do their best work. And I was so free that I began building another business for the industry, something that had never existed before and something that put me completely in my creative zone of genius. And the point of the story is not that that's necessarily the goal. Like, I didn't build it instead of the salon. I built it because I finally didn't need me at every moment and I had the space. But most of all, despite having creative freedom and despite having space to problem solve, because I had a bird's eye view, or, you know, I could come out of the goldfish bowl. But that picture is what I want you to be building towards, not a business that runs so you can do nothing. Although I know that's the goal for some people, but that's not really the goal, because I don't believe that's true. Because a business needs to run so you can do everything that actually you built the business for. So you do want to have the kids in the gym and the facial on the Tuesday, but And most importantly, the space to think and the space to problem solve and the space to properly mentor and the space to truly help the people. Because when you have mental capacity, then you can actually lead and manage and run the business, not because you're in it in the churn, but because you have perspective from it. Because the one thing that is true is that there will always be change in the business and you'll always need to step in the business to lead. Like, change is inevitable, whether the environment changes, the world changes, AI changes, team member changes, people have babies, like, change is inevitable. So when you have the white space, don't be scared of it, step into it. It's really hard to do that, you know, when you're bogged down in the daily minutiae, and that's when we become reactive. And so I've done a few episodes on this theme now, but there's one real clear thread through them is like, every queen move that you make costs you something. And at first, it costs who I am. And I did that in the salon. It does this. It challenges me in this business, Salon Owners Collective, running Salon Mastery, building my salon CEO, the operating system. Like, it costs who I thought I was or who I thought I'd, where I'd arrived, and it forces me to become somebody new, and it costs me the role that I always played. Like, the role that I did last year probably isn't the role that I'm going to do this year. And it costs me the people that I loved when I sold my business. It was like getting a divorce from 30 people that I loved dearly. So there's a cost involved every single time the business grows, because the business can only grow when you do. And your business will only ever be as profitable and as free and as scalable as the version of you that chooses to build it. So I think when there's pressure, or there's pressure on you as the business owner, or you feel change at foot, like, it's not that you've hit your ceiling, it's just that you're about to hit your next level. Like, it's being like, you have to, the only way through the forest is through to get to the next clearing, or the only way up the stairs is to get to the top and get to the next landing. New level, new devil. And if you want to know exactly what level you're at right now, like, in the growth journey, there are four key growth stages that a business goes through to get to the $1 million and beyond. And it's really useful to know where you are right now, you know, because if you know where you are, then you'll know what your next move needs to be, rather than throwing spaghetti at the wall or watching the salon down the road and going, well, they're doing this, so I should do that too, because it might not be the right move for you for right now where you're at. So I've built you the map, the $1 million growth plan, and it's free, by the way, and it's a walkthrough of every salon stage that a salon goes through as it grows, and it shows you like where you're likely to get stuck, what's going to be the roadblock at each growth stage, and then what the area of business you need to focus on right now, so you know what's coming next and where to put your energy, because otherwise your energy gets spread thin across all of the things, and we don't want the energy that you're outputting to be wasted, right? I didn't have this map when I started, and I built it so you can and you do. So go get it. Like, I'm going to leave the link for you in the show notes of this episode. And by the way, if you want to go deeper than going through the $1 million game plan, and if you want a full strategy built around your salon so you can, you know, stop winging it and start building with a clear plan, a clear roadmap towards the $1 million, then I'd love to get on a call with you and we'll map out exactly what this looks like for you and for your business, given where you're at, and what you need to do to move from stuck right now and get back into growth momentum. And we'll have a quick look, see if Salon Mastery is the right place for you, the right fit for where you're headed. And if it's not, I'll certainly be honest and let you know. I'm going to leave a link to have a chat with me in the show notes of this episode. Right, go and find out where you're standing on the $1 million growth roadmap. And otherwise, I shall see you same time, same place on the podcast next week. Ciao for now.